This conference is being recorded.
And you know what that sound means. You are in the Royal Rumble. Greetings, everyone, in the BBS radio audience, and to those of you who are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room, I am Khalif Zafnat Ania L., and I am your host. And tonight, I'm excited to have you in this room to share with us our particular and peculiar special vibrations of love tonight. It is my pleasure tonight to have, as one of our guests tonight, a great brother, has a tremendous wealth of experience and tremendous wealth of spiritual wealth that can be transferred to us, and tremendous amount of wealth, period, that you'll see in just a moment from his experience. And hopefully, I don't know if my other brother is back with us tonight or not. I did give him an invite, Dr. Will Rogers, who is just a phenomenal brother in and of himself. I don't know if he's in the room with us tonight or not. Perhaps he is. I don't know. Let's see if he's there. Dr. Rogers, are you there? All right, maybe he's not in the room right now. But we are excited. And I want to tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. This brother is phenomenal. He goes by the name of King James, and he's a writer, poet, and sang tenor and toured and recorded with the Chicago Man's Choir for about 5 years, just to name a few. He began to focus on love and unity and hone his spiritual purity for growth, conscious and cosmological expansionism, and healing after decades of practicing transcendental meditation and veganism. King James Production was formed in 2001, where he created, produced, coordinated, and promoted and maintained a formidable presence in downtown Chicago with one-of-a-kind poetry competition and festival of events that spanned 2.5 years. showcased, showcased that particular festival bi-monthly. And he was credited with creating the first ever awards of recognition ceremony honoring the local poets and host of many venues that supported that art form. Also, it took a troupe of poets on the college circuit and touring and performing to packed audiences. Currently now, this brother is residing in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. King James has hosted the Pan African Book Festival and Cultural Conference 2 years straight, 2005 and 2006, sponsored by the African American Resource and Cultural Library currently. And he is a host and creator of the weekly Blog Talk Radio show, Get Your It Together, and is known as Revelation, a.k.a. Voice of Consciousness. And this show explores the myriad aspects of being spiritual and the presence of the Omnipotent One. Yes, that's right, Omnipotent One, experiencing its reality as you through unconditional love. And that particular program airs weekly on Saturday mornings. And I tell you, it's a wonderful show. And that's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday morning. And that's 9 Central and 8 Mountain Time, and of course 7 Pacific Standard Time. This brother is known as King James, Revelation, Voice of Consciousness. I like to call him the Anchor, or Anchor of Humanity in Love. And that's how I refer to him. Once you begin to hear this brother and begin to allow him to bring forth the living waters from the deep wells that have been dug into this brother's being, you will understand what I mean. And I'm honored tonight to have him as our special guest. And since his subject is love, and it's so broad and so big and the highest vibration present that we can feel and experience, I'm not going to try to give him any parameters, peripheries, or boundaries. I'm just happy to have you, brother. I'm happy to have you, man.
Wow. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the warm welcome and your warm greetings all the time. And honored, as always, to be asked to come to your platform. This is a powerful venue you have here, and to want to share that with me and have me as a someone that has something to say, that you think has something to say, or you feel has something to say, it says a lot about what you think and get from me, from the vibrations that I send out. So I'm humbled by that. Thank you.
Oh, brother, I mean, you know, it's from the heart. I mean it. And if it were not true, I wouldn't say it. I'm well past flattery. We all are well past flattery. It is just simply, brother, the truth. And we can pick it right up where we left off last week. I'm thankful that you accepted in your busy schedule the invitation to come back again and to share with the people in this room and on this radio broadcast your convictions and your knowledge about this revelation, unity, consciousness, omnipotent one that we are experiencing as ourselves. And so without any further ado, last week I think we left off talking about we had one of the younger soldiers who's zealous, and I could appreciate his fire. I'm in a warfare here now. Every time I come back to California, something about California, and I don't know if it's the electromagnetisms or something in the ground or in the air and the water and the food. I've been wrestling with a throat situation. that I'm going to overcome here, but I do believe weapons are pointed in my direction here when I get here in California in this particular area, but we're going to move on. And so last week, our young brother, our young soldier, I could appreciate the zealous, the fire, the passion that he had, and which you and I talked about, you know, after we got off the broadcast. And I think as a young man, the Bible, and this is a, the Bible gives a very wonderful principle that the young are for war and the old are for counsel. So the young need to understand that principle of honoring your elders, which is an African principle that we must never forget, and we must never surrender. We must always honor the ancestors and our elders that are before us, because herein lies our unity. Herein lies the acknowledgement of ourselves. And so having said that, I saluted the young brother for being so honest and so just unafraid and unashamed, and his knowledge base at such a young age and consciousness was very impressive and impactful to me. But how do we posit tonight's lesson and conversation? See, my brother in the audience from Shreveport, Brother Abbott, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, I'm good, Bishop. How are you?
Man, I'm okay. I'm wrestling with a little bug in my throat, trying to give it an eviction notice, but I'm well. And our young brother, Marquis, last week, we're going to dovetail right back into the conversation. I have King James on here, and I'm going to turn him loose and let him talk to us about his experience and this phenomenon. How did he come to this particular position? What was the journey? What was the odyssey? How did he make this pilgrimage to arrive at this point that this is the absolute necessity for the planet at this moment? How did that happen, my brother?
Yeah, that's a real powerful question, but it's real simple. I practiced doing the opposite of everything I saw. I saw a lot of sickness, illness, and disease, and Spirit helped me to understand that it is a consciousness. The adjustment of the consciousness has to go before the physicality of whatever it was that I was seeing. So, you know, growing up in the ghettos, growing up in the projects, growing up in Southside Chicago, all of this kind of stuff, that there's a certain type of energy, right? And there's different things going on, you know. All of the stuff that's going on today, it went on then. It just wasn't covered by the news. So it's still the same stuff. But as a child, being exposed to it and being able to rationalize and think about what was happening, and then seeing myself in those situations, circumstances, all kind of abnormal happenings, experiences, but I wasn't getting the complete, total, or even the subtle negative effects. I was finding the promise of a truth about the experience that I was allowed to grow and expand from. So instead of it taking me down, instead of it making me feel bad, instead of it making me, you know, not to say that I didn't experience some low self-esteem, I didn't experience some of those same challenges, but in the twinkling of an eye, because my perspective wasn't based on what I saw, it was based on what the Spirit was telling me about what I saw. So I was listening. So I learned to listen more to the Spirit of a thing and stop relying on what I was seeing and judging that thing. And so that helped me to formulate postulate the various differences in these things that was happening. So the more I did that, the more practice I had about changing my perspective, changing the inner dialogue about what I was seeing. And the more I relied on the Spirit to tell me, I began to see the truth in everything. Even if I read books that was propagandist, the Spirit would extract what I needed, and the rest of it would be discarded. Black magic, white magic, it didn't matter. You know, looking at TVs, I would extract the information that I needed to get from the expansion of the experience of watching a TV, but I wasn't lulled into that lower vibrational aspect of what the intention of the programming was doing, because I had already trained or started training myself to see the, again, the antithesis of what the effects were. So it was telling me or trying to tell me to dislike, love, don't love myself, hate your neighbor, you know, find fault in everybody, criticize this, there's something wrong with that, you know, you ain't happy, it's always something wrong. And instead, I was finding that silver lining in the situation. Finding, okay, but okay, so that person's still here, so they must have got something from that. So let me see what I can get out of this. Okay, so that thing didn't kill me, and I'm still here, so it must have been something I can glean from that. So let me find what it is. Okay, that helped me to understand that I ain't going to do that no more. You know, so I started finding various aspects of whatever truth that I needed to resonate to in the moment, and it started to eventually, as an evolutionary aspect of consciousness does, start to allow me to grow, evolve cosmologically. And I didn't realize that, but that's what started to happen.
Wow. I know you've been practicing meditation as well. And I don't know if I saw Dr. Rogers come into the room or not. Dr. Rogers, are you there? I don't know if he made it into the room. Maybe he didn't make it into the room. But I heard you mention about meditation. Now, you know, of course, biblically speaking, that's a turnoff for a lot of people. People have a lot of hurts as it, you know, surrounds the Bible. Some people, and this is one of the things I think that we who were and are churchmen don't understand, that there are a lot of hurts that surround the Bible. It's a lot of pain that people, you and I had a conversation about that a little earlier. But the Bible mentions meditation. It says in the very first Psalms, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now those laws, the principles, those are cosmic laws. And when we talk about the cosmic laws, we're not talking about something that's spooky or some otherness of something that cannot be known. We're talking about observable laws, principles that govern and regulate the universe, that manifest or make us understand the invisible, because Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from creation are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made. So everything that we see in the material world, in terms of our experience, has an invisible pattern of force behind it. And so what it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, those observable principles that we can't observe, that we can't see, that reveal to us some invisible force behind it that is consistent. And it says, in it doth he meditate day and night in these laws. And he will be like a tree planted by, of course, that's a metaphor. That's the way the Bible speaks. So coming from a standpoint of meditation and being involved with transcendental meditation for a number of years, how would you say tonight that has impact you in bringing to you and where you are? And could you give us some hints about meditation? Because that's very critical for us.
Well, you basically just said it. It's like planting a tree in very fertile soil. It's foundational to our being. Meditation is critical, because it's not like prayer where you're clasped with your hands closed or you're asking for something. Meditation is where you're sitting silently and listening. You're receiving information. You're receiving whatever is to be. You're not asking or trying to say, I need, I want, Lord, I this or that. You're allowing this energy to flow, and you're listening to the sounds. And so through it, through the stillness, taking some time to be still, because we constantly on the go, we're constantly running, we're constantly, and it's a scientific fact that you could lower your heart rate, you can, high blood pressure is reduced, you know, various physiological aspects of our being is rendered into our service or maintain some level of balance when we do practice taking time out to patiently, quietly sit and go within and focus on the energy patterns that's in your mind, or find a stream of light and follow that light and see where it leads you, or look at that dark spot, the wormhole, and go into it. And just, you know, transcendental meditation requires a mantra, which is a tool, which is a specific sound to you that is like your fingerprint, and you get it through, derive it from your name or your age or something specific to you. And so it becomes your key to unlock, and you sit quietly and do that. But it doesn't take necessarily a specific mantra. You can just meditate on just a sound. You can just allow yourself to make a sound and just focus on just the resonance of the sound for 20 minutes a day, or 20 minutes every setting, two or three times a day, or however much time you have. Make it a consistent effort, because, again, none of this stuff works if you don't work it. You got to take time to do it. And it is not about what it's going to do for you. The question, how well am I doing it, or I'm not doing it right, it's not a question of what you're doing or why you're doing it, other than understanding that the benefits is to realize a more complete or more substance in you. That's really the benefits, is to resonate with the all that is you, in you. Because we are inundated with the stuff outside of us. We're focused on everything outside of us having more power. When the real true power, we're walking around with all our power. No one has taken it. They've just tricked or had us transitioned away from the memory of who we really are. So once we start to do things to once again center our focus, and once again find the stillness within, then there we touch God. There we become God. There we are in the same breath with God. And, oh, yeah, paying attention to your breathing doesn't hurt. Those things are important. All the little subtle things. Really quickly, the fetus is created. Before the fetus is really created, one of the first organs in the body is the heart. And ironically enough, the heart is not heart cells that develop, as brain cells. So the heart is like the conductor of the orchestra. For when all the other organs come into being, the heart is what is like the conductor, because everything is resonant. Everything has a frequency, and all the organs is playing their own. They're connecting to various chakras and making their own sounds. But the heart has to be the conductor, or everything is out of balance, and that's how we get the chaos. So I hope I answered that.
Yes, sir, you did. And, you know, one of the things that we dig into this tonight, one of the things that I want to pull up, I got, you know, a couple of things, but I'd like to start here with something you said about going in and watching. Now, that sounds familiar to me, coming out of the church 40 years. Jesus said, watch and pray. Now, for many years, I thought that that watching was outside of me, okay? And I thought it meant to watch on the outside and be, you know, observant of the external. But actually, more recently, I've come to understand that what I'm watching for is not something on the outside, but I'm watching something inside. Now, what am I watching for? In the Bible, this is why I love it. I guess I know it, and I love it because I can translate it. Before, it was very frustrating to me trying to figure out how this Bible, you know, would work, because some of the things that I was reading just didn't make sense, and they just don't work anywhere but in the Bible, or, you know, in between the testimonies of between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Sundays, between those walls, because once we leave those areas, you know, everything else doesn't reconcile itself. It's hard to reconcile the victory we claim inside of church with our experience once we leave church on the outside, because that victory seemingly disappears. So it was very frustrating. But now that I've developed another angle into looking at, and another codex, if you will, to the Bible, it's not as frustrating for me. So when Jesus said, watch, and you mentioned going within, not seeing anything, not asking for anything, but being receptive, it reminds me of what he said, watch. Watch for what? And what I found out recently in the last few years is that everything is a frequency. Now, I want you all to hear me very carefully. Everything is a frequency. Everything is a way. In the beginning, when everything was spoken, that word became sound. That sound became a wave. And that wave, of course, takes us all the way back to Egypt, to the roaring waters of noon, or none, or nut, back in Egypt. And those, out of those roaring waters comes this wave. And you watch that wave until that wave internally, you can see it inside of you, until that wave collapses to a particle. And when it collapses to a particle, it collapses to the atom. Yes, that's right, the atom. And why am I bringing that up? Because the brother said, all of that power is in you. Now, I went way around the road, brother, to talk about the atom that's in us, because you said something about the power that's in us. And I wanted to make people aware that their cells contain millions of atoms, and you have millions of cells, and you have atomic power within you. You have this atomic power, the atom. You have the atom, the particle within you. Now, we can get into the subatomic particles and start talking about electrons, the protons, the neutrons, the solartrons, all this, and the positrons. But let's just focus on the atom. And that atom is atomic power within you. And this is what you can tap. So when you read the mysterious, miraculous stories in the Bible that are written in allegory form, and you see all of these mysterious, miraculous things happening, these people have been able to go within and to tap within that atomic power, that atomic power. Now, brother, could you talk to us a little bit about what I'm saying here? Could you add to that about the atoms that are inside of us, the intelligence that's inside of us in these atoms? Because these atoms are intelligent, and they also connect us to everything in the universe.
Absolutely, and again, you said it. We're connected to the universe by way of this molecule, this atom, right? And in the atom, we can't measure it or see it, but there's, as you say, subatomic particles. even smaller than that. Now, we breathe in atoms. We're made, matter is atoms, but like you say, it's all frequency. So the bottom line is what happens is that we have trillions of cells that are replicants of our whole body. In essence, you could take any one cell out of our body and it has every action or function that your whole body has. A cell has waste material that it feeds, it eats, it has sex, it gives off energy, it is constantly in motion, it breathes. It is a exact, it's a subatomic or a, not subatomic, but it is a macro cosmic reality in our cellular structure. And we're the macrocosmic reality of the universal or of the cosmic structure. So everything is connected because everything is an atom. And everything is, there's a wave and a particle and a wave and a particle. And it's a constant flickering, so to speak. Things appear to be moving. It's kind of like a movie screen, kind of like a projector. You know, so many frames per second, things appear to be moving. But it's really, it's a creation on some film that has no real, but again, this is so powerful, man. Every cell in our being, every cell in our body functions. Every cell in our body is attuned to the master head. And if we're consciously connecting ourselves to nonsense, criticizing, condemning, and complaining all of the time, because we are creators, because we are master creators, whether we know it or not, we're creating the reality that we live in, that realm of condemnation, criticism, and complaining. So as a child, I started finding the best aspect of any given situation that I was in. Instead of criticizing, I found an excuse to find another side to why it existed, what happened, to make this better than. So then I started looking for how do you be better, not better than people, but be better at living, better at loving, better at being. And so it's only one way to do it, and that's to open up the heart. But the heart has a sacred space that's closed off unless you travel this internal road. If you don't go here with sincere, honest dedication and free from anger, free from hostilities, free from condemnation, you got to be free of these things that keeps your vibration lower, because there's a certain level of vibratory frequencies that's going to trip that switch in the sacred space of the heart to open it up for you to make the connection to get the balance, which pulls in your power, pulls in all of your power. See, we're powerful, but we're even more powerful when we're balanced. We've been taught to only segregate and polarize and use certain aspects of that. And if we do discipline and self-restraint and control and manipulation, then we can be powerful because we're focusing. But really, we can do that, but having balance and understanding where the seat of our power lies and focusing on opening up that part, that's the only way that we get it, the fullness of it. And that's where we're indestructible, indispensable, and can't be stopped.
Wow.
So I might, wow. Yeah, wow. I might have went a little too far, but I mean, I'm just saying,
no,
I get it.
No, no, no. My mind is jumping. I think, can you all hear me? I was told by one of the brothers that I got a little feedback. I'm getting some static. So how am I cutting? Maybe my rough voice. I don't know.
No, you're better now. It was some feedback, though.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, as you were talking, you mentioned a couple of things, too, and we're still on focusing on point. And there are a couple of things that I need to organize in my mind to say it. I mean, I understand it, but I want to say it. I want to play the devil's advocate here just for a moment, because we are being pressured from the outside to get out of balance. You mentioned balance. And get out of balance with what? The cosmos, with these atoms and this unified field that we are all connected to. Now, I want to say this to everyone. There are signals and waves constantly being broadcast or transmitted from the universe. And these waves are messages. They are intelligent messages. Now, I want you to think of it. This is why I love the Bible. Think of it in terms of in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was made by this word. And without this word, or wave, if you could say, so there was not anything made that was made. So when he speaks of terms of creating your reality, these waves are being broadcast. He used the word as a film. And you are connected to these waves. Now, there is a unified field, meaning you are the same as this field. Matter of fact, your entire microcosm of trillions of cells and trillions of atoms that are on the inside of you are just a reflection of the incandescent spatiospheres that you see above you. You are actually that. This is being transmitted into you. You're connected with that. Now, the precious, here's where I want to come in as the devil's advocate, because there are a lot of things that are seeking to create static between you and these waves, as I was getting static a moment ago. And what we're talking about here is the principle or discipline of meditation to cut off the static. Now, what are some of the things that creates static or interference with you and these waves? And remember now, the atom, when the wave collapses into a particle, that is when it becomes matter or mass or volume, as we call it in physics. It becomes matter at a certain rate of motion. Everything you see is made up of that atom that becomes matter or mass. But it comes from that wave, that frequency. It comes from that frequency. It comes from that frequency that collapses into a particle of the atom. And that atom now, as you begin to structure it, becomes everything that you experience or see in the material world and matter. So what are some of the ways that are being used to disconnect or call static between us and this field and these waves that are coming? What are some of the ways? What are some of the things that are being used in your mind?
Less brain conditioning, focusing on ego and making everything be about what you see physically. And again, looking to find fault or justify. And all you're doing is recognizing the chaos or the imbalance in the situation. And rather than focusing on what can make that better, we're taught, trained, and conditioned to find fault and justify that we're better because we're not that. So when we compare it to this, or when we run the numbers, and we look at the condition of what that situation is, we can deduce that I'm better because, or I can do better because, or I'm not an alcoholic, so I'm better than, no one's better than anyone, because we're all streaming the same energies or the same consciousness that is the presence of the omnipotent one, but we are conditioned to think that what we see and what is being exposed that our two eyes are seeing, we're paying too much attention to. Our focus is drawn. It's kind of like looking at what somebody's doing with their left hand while they're changing the dynamics of the whole reality with their right hand, and it's behind their back, so you can't see that. You're only focusing on what you see. And so it's a hocus pocus trick, you know, more. And so getting people to focus more on that, and they use the ego to do that, left brain thinking, you know, allowing only the analytical and the scientific mindset to come into play versus understanding how to channel this energy through your heart. But then if your heart is cold, your left brain thinking is going to be magnified because the ego is in control. So it's that focus on those things outside of yourself. That's basically what we've been talking about, which is all that the issue is. People are looking at what someone has and what someone look like they has and who's what color someone is. And everything is about what we see, and we are assigned. We've been trained and assigned ideas around what these words mean, and those words are polarizing. Those things are diminishing our power because we're focusing. It's our focus. So to change our plight, to change our reality, to change our connection more, to have our connection flow more fluidly, we have to change the inner dialogue and take our focus away from all those things that they want us to look at, look at the wars over here and who's got the oil and everything that really can't be changed individually, unless the individual changes. That's the only way I can say it.
Well, now I'm getting ready to drop the atom bomb. I've been trying to hold off on it. But the brother last week was talking about the distinctions of race or nationality. There's only one race, okay? There's the human race. All people we know now come out of Africa. So regardless of whether they landed on one of the seven continents, or six other continents, rather, and they, everyone came. So it's only one race, okay? So, but now we have this doctrine that has been introduced into the world culture or worldview, that divides us based upon, and especially since the 1800s, since the 19th century. Prior to that, much of it wasn't even part of the consciousness of people to divide people by the color of their skin. And but now this has become the gorilla, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the bull in the china shop, if you will, that's, you know, shattering the hope and dreams and possibilities while we see one group. And what do we tell a young brother, like last week, who's at his wit's end with seeing and being frustrated, being involved in the vicissitudes, the ups and downs, and in the vice grip of the crucibles of these distinctions, and is insane? How do we get that person to understand this message that we are trying to transmit to that person right now, that the way and the relief from the pain of this distinction? And of course, we are educated in a culture that causes us to compete based on distinction. And I hate to go to this tired, well-worn, threadbare, old expression about the Willie Lynch, to divide by color, by age, and by sex. But this is the culture we're in. And these things put pressure on us. They put pressure on us based on what color we are, the old against the young, the woman against the man, the haves against the have-not. And
the 1% at the top that's enjoying the world's resources while the rest are laboring almost in the kind of, not indentured servitude, but in a type of slavery. How, what is the message we give to these people that are in pain with this now? How do we move them? And what could they expect to experience? Because that's where that brother was last week. He was at his wit's end. The young brother, he was at his wit's end. And I think I better open this up for a moment and bring them in, because that's where we took off last week. And my brother, my older brother, is here with me on this broadcast tonight. And he may want to chime in on this. And we're moving close to the hour, so I'm going to try to open up the queue and see if there are some who are out here who want to chime in with this. And I see the chancellor from Ohio. You see the young brother.
Q&A session started.
So all you need to do to get into this discussion is to press *6, and you know where we are in the conversation. And you can come in and ask King James questions while we have him here. Those of you that are in the BBS radio audience, you can dial 712-775-7085. Access code is 568-788-POUND. Call in. *6, we're in the conversation.
What a beautiful conversation tonight. What a beautiful place to be that I can enter this conversation. I quickly go to King James Version. I quickly quote the words that are written. There is no difference between the Jews and Greek. I start with that text simply because it is a clear separation of identity. It's a clear separation of people, Jews and Greek. But they conclude with there's no difference. If we bring attention, there is no doubt, there's no secret, there's no hesitation that we should never be blind to race. It is there, Jews and Greeks. It is clearly identified who people are separate. And with that being said, you may find difference of ability in Jews and Greeks. But what's so beautiful about it, that when it comes to identifying the capability of them working together, and they're understanding the spirit, and they're understanding the power, now is no separation who can have more than the other. I retire my statement.
Is there a question for the doctor tonight? *6. Thank you, Chancellor, for bringing that to the forefront of our conversation. And we're talking about meditation tonight and going within and accessing this atomic power that's within us, that is part of a unified field. When you think about the powerful expressions of quasars and novas and exploding stars and gamma rays, and think about the strong magnetic forces that and gravitational energies that are present and at work in our universe, and to think that there's a universe inside of you that you can connect to. But then there are forces that we just mentioned a moment ago that are seeking to keep you, as our brother has said, out of balance. I like to say out of harmony and resonance with this power. Think you were created as a powerful being with illimitable power. But here comes a group of people that bring in divisive consciousness, what I like to call the underdeveloped consciousness thinking, which is, you think of consciousness as energy and a frequency and a wave, because that's what it is. You have brain waves, you have thought waves that go not only through your body, but go back into this universe. And either it will have resonance, it will connect and have harmony with it, or it will have dissonance and be out of balance with all of this power. So you have an entire universe above you that you are part of, and that we have to connect with, and it will require us to get past the oppression we see in this world, the persecution we see in this world, the injustice that is coming in this world. And how do we do this? This brother has told us tonight that we do this by going within and being quiet and being still. If I were Jesus, I would say, take no thought. What you going to wear? What you going to put on? What you going to eat? He said, for all of these things do be what I call the artificial or underdeveloped consciousness. He says the Gentiles. And it's right there in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And he says, seek the kingdom first. When he says kingdom, now he's talking about these principles that we're talking about. And he says, when you pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he says, go into your closet, shut the door. And then he says something very strange, and I want you to hear this, because this is what this brother is saying. He says, pray in secret. And that word secret there in that text that he says pray in secret means that you're not saying words. Because if you're praying and saying in secret and using words, it's not in secret anymore. Because in this day and time, with the listening devices and Big Brother and so forth and et cetera, you're not praying in secret. So we're talking about that tonight, and I was hoping my young brother would come back because he really talked to us last week about some things and what he felt in his generation, and I was happy to hear from that young brother. And I was hoping he would get back here tonight, and my pastor, on the second hour, we were going to record him. It was his night to talk about his experience. But Marquis, are you out there? If you are, I see. Let's see. Press star six.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, my co-host.
Yes.
Come on, talk to us.
Well, I find it very interesting, the conversation we're having tonight. I have a little distractions in the background in my grooming business, but what's new? Anyway, you know, all of this really resonates as far as lifting up the human race. This is not about color at all. It's really, truly not about color, and I hope no one takes offense by that. Because we're all striving to achieve the same goal, and that's to raise our consciousness enough to activate our pineal gland, which is going to, in turn, bring us into a whole new level. It's called the fifth dimension. And once we reach that, then we reach unconditional love, where there is no judgment for what happens, but we will be all on the same, what should I say, Dr. Khalif? Energetic level, perhaps, where there is no more war. That golden age that Revelation speaks of, I truly believe, is upon us. Now, some are not going to make this because they refuse to move into these higher levels of unconditional love and compassion and empathy. And that's okay, too. Because they will move into another 3D planet that supports that type of learning. And so that's where we're at right now. But all is as it should be. You know, I always say that. Thank you.
Well, you got your puppies barking.
I know. That's why I said it's been one of those evenings.
You know, we have a caller, 318, that's in the queue, and King James is here in the audience. I want to just say, now I can discuss the new heaven and the new earth, as spoken of in the book of Revelation.